Tonight, for our Empowered class, I want to continue talking to you about increasing your effectiveness in prayer. That ought to say part three. My apologies for that. And I want to hit some review for you, especially for those of you who may not have been here for the last 2 weeks prior to tonight. And then at the end of that, I will ask you if any of you have any questions concerning the topic of prayer and the prayer of faith. And I'd love to be able to help you with that if I can. Our text for this has been James chapter 5, verse 16. And the New Living Bible says, "The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results." It says, "The earnest prayer of a righteous person," now if you're born again, you're righteous, "has great power and produces wonderful results." Well, my question to you would very simply be, do you feel like your prayer life has great power, and are you seeing wonderful results? If the answer to that is no, then we need to ask ourselves why. Because God said not only it can be, but it should be. And so as we take an honest, open look at Scripture, we see that God is ready, He's willing, and He's able to answer your prayers. He wants to intervene, and prayer is an invitation for God to step in with His intervention in your situation and do what you could not do in your human ability and human understanding. Can you say amen tonight? And so we have the ability to increase our efficiency in our prayer life. The disciples asked Jesus, "Teach us to pray." Prayer is something that we must be taught to do. And it's very important for us to have an understanding of it. Now, most of you know, some of you may not, the Bible is our instruction manual for all things in life, no matter what it might be. We go to the Word of God to find answers for all life's questions. When I did youth ministry, I would use the acronym BIBLE, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. And that's really what this is all about. God has written us the greatest instruction manual, Steve, that has ever been written for the greatest machine ever created. And that's you as a human being. And He shows us in it how to do life successfully. And Jesus actually says in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, "Man shall not live on bread alone," right? You can live about 40 days without eating, give or take, depending on who you are. I don't think I could go that long. Some of you might be able to. I feel like I'm going to die after about 4 hours. But it's the same spiritually. You know, there's a lot of times we go weeks and months and maybe even years without ever picking up this book. But I want to challenge you more this year than ever before to get into God's Word and feed on it every single day. Stay with us doing the Renewal Fuel. It's on the app. It's in your bulletin every week. Read a proverb a day. Get into God's Word. If you've never read your Bible, read the book of John. Okay, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John is the fourth book of the New Testament. Start there. And we want to encourage you to begin feeding on God's Word regularly. So the first step we talked about in increasing our effectiveness in prayer is very simply this. Number one, when you pray and you need to see results, you go to the Father in the name of Jesus. Number one, go to the Father in the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus is what makes your prayer work. The name of Jesus is the reason why you have a right to be in the presence of God. Christianity, boiled down to one word, is relationship. Jesus Christ came and lived a sinless life so that we could be forgiven of our sin and enter back into relationship with a holy God. Sinful people can have a relationship with a holy God only through the substitutionary sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So we have so much to be grateful for. Prayer, if it's something we lay to the side and we neglect, that's a sad thing because Jesus made it possible for us to communicate with God and to give and receive from Him. It's all because of what He did for us at Calvary and then being resurrected 3 days later. Can you say amen? The second step you've got to take to increasing your effectiveness in prayer is number two, you've got to ask in faith. Asking is part of the program. Obviously, God knows what you need before you ask. The Bible says that. However, He wants you to ask for the things which you need. The disciples, when they said, "Teach us to pray," He said, "I want you to pray like this. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And one of the things Jesus taught them to pray was, "Give us this day our daily bread," right? He wanted to teach a dependency upon the Father. Just like little children are dependent on their parents for survival, so we are dependent on God. And that dependency should be seen in our relationship with Him every single day. Okay? When I'm dependent, I constantly am going to Him. We actually call children dependents. And so we go to our parent and He helps us and He's happy to do that. He wants us to come to Him. The third thing you've got to do is ask according to God's will. Now, this is critical. If we want to see results in our prayers, we've got to pray according to His will. Well, where can I find the will of God? That's right. Where can I find the will of God? Where can I find the will of God? The Word of God is the will of God, and the will of God is the Word of God. Faith begins where the will of God is known, very simply put. The Word teaches me what to ask for. And when I ask in accordance with the Word, I always receive. The answer is already yes. He teaches me how to ask for the things I need. Can you say amen tonight? He doesn't leave you in the dark. He wants to answer your prayer. The fourth area is release the power of agreement. And we really got into this last week. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 18, when two believers come into agreement, if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. So we see that there is power when two believers come together in the name of Jesus. Why? Because Jesus said, I'll be there in the midst of you. And everywhere Jesus is that we see Him in the Word, we see where lives are touched and changed and needs are met and chains are broken and things begin to happen according to God's will. The fifth thing we talked about last week that we ended with is number five, when you pray, believe you received the moment you asked. Believe you received the moment you asked. Now, that's really important. That's very different in our thinking and in our theology, maybe from the way you were raised, is that we're to believe we got what we asked for when we asked for it. Jesus said that in Mark chapter 11, verse 24. He said, therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them. Well, when did He say to believe you got it? When did He say to believe you got it? I need everybody to get a hold of this one. When did He say to believe you got it? When you pray, believe that you receive them, and then you'll have them. We say, well, I got to see it to believe it. But Jesus says, you've got to believe it if you want to see it. Why? Because He wants us to take Him at His word. He wants us to have a relationship with Him so that you believe what He says when He says it. You trust in Him. Now, everybody in this room today has close relationships with other people around you. And when we're in a close relationship with somebody, I see y'all smiling at each other. Still in love. How many years have been? 50. Good night. 50 years. Jeannie, you don't look 50 years old. I'll take a 20 after church. Just kidding. When you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Now, that's critical because for many believers, we treat prayer like Russian roulette, right? We slip one into the chamber, we fire it up. Don't have a whole lot of hope of what's coming back. But we kind of soothed our conscience because we had a little chat with Jesus. Well, God wants it to be more than that. God wants us to experience His supernatural power, His provision, His healing, His touch, His hand, His peace, His joy, His strength, His favor, His purpose in your life. He wants you to know His plan. He wants you to have a very real, personal, and powerful daily walk with Him. That's what I want to emphasize to you, that out of all this, the joy is not receiving what you asked for. The joy is that you get to know Him every time you pray better and better and better. Just like y'all, after 50 years, you know, you still got the gleam in your eye. I want that with Jesus. Amen. I don't want the longer life goes on, the less I expect of Him and the more bitter I become. And there are many believers that way. We're not just holding on and holding the fort until we get to meet Jesus face to face. We're accomplishing things. We're moving mountains. We're slaying one giant after another. We need to taste and see that the Lord is good. So believe you receive the moment you ask. Now, what was eye opening for many of you on that was I talked to you about it being like placing an order from a catalog or a company, that when you do that, you call in your order, they confirm it with you, they give you a confirmation number, they might even email it to you, and you have no doubt in your mind that it's not a matter of if you're going to get what you ordered from them and asked of them, it's a matter of when. It's the exact same in our prayer exchanges with God when we pray according to these steps that I've shared with you, because faith has a time and a place when and where it received. And so we have to have that when we're asking God for something. Now, again, I want to remind you that this is the type of prayer that is the prayer of faith. This is how to receive things you need from God. Sometimes it works when it comes to relationships, but we've talked before about how to intercede for broken relationships or lost loved ones. That's a completely different type of prayer. We can't lump them all in the same category. But this is how to see God move in your situation and provide for you when you have a need or a healing or whatever it might be, you can go to Him. And the starting point for our believing must be at the instant we ask. Now, I said the first week, if you don't believe God's going to do what you ask, don't even bother asking. And I gave you three things you could do there. Number one, write it down. We've got expectation cards. There's several more out there in the lobby. We use these every single year, things I'm believing God for this year. Has Mark 11, 24 on the bottom of it. Write it down. Write it down. I use these and I have for a long, long time. It's very effective because if you write it down, you keep it in your Bible, then every day, secondly, you go before God and you hold that thing as a tangible point of contact, something I can touch. Say, Father, on this day at this time, I asked you for this, and I thank you now that it's done. I thank you that according to your word, I believed I received when I asked, and I thank you that you're working on it. I may not know who it's going to come from, how it's going to come, or where it's coming from, but I know it's already settled and sealed in heaven, and I thank you that delivery is your part and standing in faith is mine. I thank you that it's done. And so every day I'm releasing my faith for that, and I'm thanking Him, number three, that it's already finished. Again, I received it the moment I asked. I'm shifting gears from asking, please, God, I need this and I ask you for it, to stepping into I've already received. Even though I haven't seen it yet, even though it hasn't showed up yet, even though my body doesn't feel healed yet, I received it when I asked. So I'm no longer asking, I'm thanking Him daily that it's already done. My position is very different. Over here, I'm hoping I get something. Over here, I feel the weight of that thing. But when I ask, I leave it with Him and I step into thanking Him and I'm no longer carrying the weight of it because I know now that it's already accomplished simply because I asked God for it. So we receive by faith first and by fact second. We date the time we receive by faith. God dates the time we receive by fact. And I want to share with you a testimony tonight. I don't see Amy here tonight. But I want to share with you a testimony she gave me Sunday that is so powerful. And she said, my husband and I traveled to John Hopkins Hospital in Baltimore the first week of January. Surgery to remove his cancer was performed on Thursday the 5th. My husband called me last Wednesday at school to tell me that the doctors had just called with a pathology report and they had successfully removed all the cancer and that it had not spread. We are so blessed. God has answered a prayer that I made once in July when we learned of the diagnosis. Since coming to Victory Church, I have heard that when you pray, ask for something in Jesus' name that the Bible says you should trust, that has already been done. That message was totally new to me. In all my years growing up in my church, I'd always been told to pray and that God would do what He has planned. I prayed in July and believed it was done. We both went through the next months with a sense of peace. Why? They had stepped from asking into receiving. They already knew in their hearts that it was done. When I was asked to email this as a testimony, I thought I would, of course, do that. I want someone like me to hear it and be blessed. The joy that we are feeling, I can't stop smiling. God's love is amazing. Isn't that awesome? So that's how this type of prayer works. And that's a critical shift that you make from being a beggar to being a believer. Amen? So let me ask you tonight, are there any questions? Do you have any questions about what we're talking about in this type of prayer? Yes, sir. No. Excellent question. No, because that's a prayer of intercession for people's safety. I pray that same way over my family every single day. This is referring to needs in your life. I need a job. I need a new refrigerator. My car's broke. God, I need $327 and I don't have it and I don't know where to get it. Those type of receiving things. You could do that in your acknowledgement by faith. Of that every day. If, for those of you who couldn't hear, Paul said, every day I get up and I apply the blood of Jesus over my family for safety and claim the promise of Jesus' stripes and their power to bring healing into our bodies, which is 1 Peter 2:24 and Isaiah 53. He's saying, should I just do that once, or is that something I need to do every day? And the answer to that is daily. That's an intercessory item that every day we apply that by faith over our families, loved ones, anyone else you might be believing God for his hedge of protection. Again, that one is our daily bread. That's something I've got to have to survive every day. We live in a dangerous world. And so daily, this is critical, and I'm glad you brought that up. The Bible says your adversary is the devil, and he walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Every single day, I apply the precious blood of Jesus by faith over each of you, over Marshanna, Zoe and I, my extended family, spirit, soul, and body, because there are three parts to who you are. The power and the blood of Jesus Christ is stronger than all the forces of hell combined, and Satan cannot penetrate the blood. The promises of God are available, but they are not automatic. You have to activate them by faith. The same way the blood is activated to wash away your sin, it can be activated for salvation. If you remember in the Old Testament, when God brought Israel out from Egypt, out from under Pharaoh, there came a night, the 10th plague, when the firstborn of all Egypt would be killed. Anyone who did not have the blood of a lamb applied over their doorpost, the firstborn would be killed. Well, God's people came out that night. He totally delivered them. He brought them out healthy and he brought them out wealthy as they moved out and started making their way towards the promised land. My point to you is the blood of that lamb that they applied over their doorpost had no significance on its own, other than the fact it was a picture of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, the ultimate Passover lamb that would come and be slain and shed his innocent blood for you and me to cover our lives so that death had to pass by. What is the number one thing we are freed from as Christians? It is death. We have life released in us. Eternal life does not begin the moment you stop breathing. It begins the moment you got born again. So you're actually enjoying a limited view of eternal life right now. And so when we, by faith, apply the blood of Jesus, just like they did, they'd take that branch, dip it in the blood of that lamb, and apply it over their doorpost so the enemy and death would pass over. Every day I'm doing that to my family and to your lives. By faith, I'm applying the blood Jesus shed 2,000 years ago and how powerful it is over our lives, over the doorpost, the entryway of our spirit, the entryway of our soul, which is your mind, will, and emotions, and the entryway of your body so that Satan cannot have access. And I genuinely believe it is one of the greatest things you can do in a day and age when tragedy and violence is increasing and people are going crazy all around you, is apply that over your life to stop premature death, because if you're killed before your time, the kingdom suffers because you don't get to accomplish what God called you here to do. So we have to learn how to live in the last days. The Bible says in the last days, perilous times shall come. And so we've got to learn how to live effectively. So great question. That's one you need to do every single day. Does anyone else have a question? Yes, ma'am. They absolutely have a part in that. You keep praying for them because your prayers will keep God's power and his hand and his intervention there in their situation. But again, that's leaning towards intercessory. But I might take time again to teach on how to pray for people. Again, this is more specifically how to receive things for your life, the prayer of faith. We do handle that differently when we're praying for others. But if you need healing, this is exactly how you pray for it. But if you're praying for them, their free will plays a part in that. and where they stand in their faith. Anna Brewer, we talked about that through email back and forth a few weeks ago. So it absolutely does play a part whenever someone else is involved. The prayer of faith will never override somebody's free will. However, we don't stop praying, because the Greek tense for Luke 11, verse 9 through 13, where Jesus said, ask and you'll receive, seek and you'll find, knock and it shall be opened to you. The Greek tense is to ask and keep asking, seek and keep seeking, knock and keep knocking. And that's because we can't get everything we need by asking once. We can't get everything we seek by seeking once. And we can't have every door open that we need open by knocking once. If so, we could just pray one time, one general prayer, and it would all be over. God wants a relationship with us developed through the process of prayer, and that's why faith is so amazing. This type of prayer is what David lived whenever he said, and he went to King Saul before he faced off with Goliath, and he said, my God who delivered me from the lion when I was watching daddy's sheep, and my God who delivered me from the bear when I was watching after his sheep, will also deliver me from this Philistine. He won victories in his faith life that were progressive. Lester Sumrall said it like this: you've got to believe God for a cookie before you can ask him for a wedding cake. And so what happens is, as we learn how to ask God for what it is we need in our life, or what the kingdom is demanding at that point for his glory, because we can't ask amiss if we're just asking for our own pleasure. The Bible says that's why we don't have it. But when we ask with the right motives, then that makes a huge, huge difference there. Does that make sense to everybody tonight? Somebody else, how about one more? Yes, Miss Deb. Yep. Oh, wonderful question. Thank you for asking this. I just had this before. So Deb's husband, Tim, has some issues physically with his knee. She just asked the question. He goes to the doctor for it. She asked, is our faith wrong for going to the doctor to see him about that knee? Is that right? Okay. I just talked with someone just before service about this. Let me tell you that faith and medicine do not have to contradict each other. You do not have to choose one or the other. This is where a lot of people get hung up unnecessarily, and the devil torments them. They think, well, if I just had enough faith, I don't have to go to the doctor. Or I shouldn't take my medicine, because if I believe I receive when I ask, then why am I taking my medicine? Listen, you follow the doctor's instruction until he can confirm that the healing has been manifested in your body. I have been in churches where diabetics thought they got healed, stopped taking their insulin, and died. Let the doctor release you. That's wisdom. It's very important. Faith does not have to replace medicine. Now, let me explain it to you in a different way. How many of you know all truth belongs to God? Jesus said, I am the way, the what? The truth and the life. All truth belongs to God. So there are spiritual truths that we see in God's word. There are also natural, in the natural realm, truth. Just like there's truths in nature, there's truths with animals, there's truth with your body, there's truth with natural laws like gravity, Chris. What goes up must come down. That's the truth. If you don't believe me, jump off a building. Actually, anymore, I shouldn't say that. Don't jump off a building. I'm just kidding. That was not intended to be obeyed. But so there's different types of truth. Well, when a doctor goes and studies medicine and understands how the body works, and then understands different ways he can intervene to help assist in the healing, because a doctor can carve you up, but he can never heal you. Healing belongs to God. If you don't believe the supernatural power of God's at work in your body, go cut your hand. Again, don't do it. But watch it heal. It's a fascinating thing to watch your body recover. Well, there's resurrection power in you. Okay? And so it's fascinating to me to understand that. Now, you can't get crossed up here, or you really get into a big quagmire and a lot of condemnation. Remember, that's what Satan wants to use to keep you from enjoying what God's given you. Well, there's certainly truth about medicine and truth about your body that the doctor can use to help you. But again, we look to him as the great physician. Everybody else other than that's just an assistant. And we believe God to help them and intervene in those situations. So they don't run, Deb, opposite of each other. Don't get down in your faith. But what I would do if I was Tim, and I have done before, and even in the process of believing God for Marsha's healing to have a baby, every day I'm thanking him that my body is functioning perfectly. I'm laying hands on my body or her body in those areas and believing God for that to happen and to take place. Make sense? Every day. Father, thank you that your healing power is at work in me. I thank you that I am healed and made whole. I thank you that because I'm a child of the covenant, you forgave all my sin and you healed all my diseases. You make me whole. By your stripes, I am healed. There is wholeness in my body. Nothing missing and nothing broken. Salvation is the Greek word sozo. It is not just the forgiveness of sins and get your get out of hell free card punched. It's not, salvation is so much bigger than that. Salvation is the defeat of Satan and everything that came as a result of the fall so that we could live a life again, that we have to walk in God's dominion and authority and impose like Adam had in the Garden of Eden. Make sense? Okay, so faith and medicine, you don't have to pick between the two. Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. Yeah, don't give up. Don't give up. That's what I'm about to get into tonight. She's been claiming her healing for 16 months in an area. Don't give up. Abraham waited 25 years. I did that every day for 7 for Zoe. So don't give up. Amen? Okay, so let's keep going tonight. Great, excellent, excellent questions. If you have more questions on that, feel free to email me. I love fielding those. But the 6th point tonight in increasing our effectiveness in prayer is on this topic that has come up tonight. It's 6, stand strong in faith and don't open the door to doubt. Now, this is huge because between the time you ask God for something and the time you receive it, there is a gap in the middle where you have to learn to stand. And during that period of time, you're going to be attacked and you're going to have the opportunity to doubt. Fair enough? How many of you know exactly what I'm talking about? I mean, that's, you know, it's difficult in that gap in between. And so James chapter 1, verse 5, I think it's typed out for you there, so we'll just move along here. But it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God. Now, there's a principle there that goes beyond wisdom, and it's very simply this. If any of you lacks, is there a lack in your life? If there is, ask God. And look at what it says. Who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Again, there's an affirmation that God wants to answer your prayer. Verse 6, but let him ask in faith with no doubting. Somebody say no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. I want to read it to you from the New Living. It gives us a little bit more light on this passage. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. But when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything they do. So I want to define the word doubt for you tonight, because that's really what this hinges on. And if you've got a pen, I encourage you to write these down. Doubt is very simply to hesitate or to waver. To hesitate or to waver. It is to differ or be at variance with yourself. When you're doubting, then there is a war going on inside of you. It's to go back and forth between two things, primarily between faith and fear. Ever been there before? We oscillate or vacillate back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Doubt is uncertainty. It's to have a distracted state of mind. And it produces hesitation that comes from reasoning. We try and figure it out on our own. We try and imagine, how's this going to work out? What's going to happen? How's this going to go on? How is God going to accomplish this? What am I going to do? And the Bible says that people who doubt are like waves of the ocean. I love going to the ocean, and you know, I do my best to get there every year. And one thing, if you watch waves in the ocean, you'll see them for a minute and then they'll drop, and then it seems like it pops up somewhere else. Well, what's it talking about there? It's not just talking about a person who's pushed around by the wind, but somebody who's one place one second, another the next. They're hot one second, they're cold the next. They're in one second, they're out the next. They're believing one second and they're giving up on God the next. Now, y'all know people just like that. And the Bible says that that kind of person can't expect to receive anything from God. Their prayers, their desires, their focus is always changing. Actually, Proverbs says, and this is very dangerous, that a person that is given to change, stay away from that kind of person, that they are dangerous to be around. And I see this in believers' lives, and it breaks my heart, because God wants consistency in us. He wants focus in us. It is a key to reaching a place where we're walking in victory on a consistent basis in our life. And I'm telling y'all, this isn't just something that is pie in the sky, or that is something that can't be had, or that is some lofty goal that very few believers attain. These are such simple principles that if we'll just put them into practice, we will be able to walk in victory every single day of our lives. And that's something I want. Okay? And again, it's not that God doesn't want to bless a person who's double-minded. But if you think about it, he can't bless them because they never stand in one place long enough. They're constantly all over the place in their faith and their prayers. And so doubt is the greatest enemy of our faith. What is the greatest enemy of your faith? What is the greatest enemy of your faith? Doubt. Doubt and faith are polar opposites. You can't have both or be in both at the same time. Verse 7 there makes it absolutely clear that such people should not expect to receive anything from God. Doubt is a destroyer of effective prayer, because doubt limits the power of God. If you don't hear anything else I say tonight, hear that. Doubt limits the power of God. Doubt limits the power of God. Now, I don't know about you, but I need to see God's power in my life. Not from me, but I got to have it to survive. There are situations that come up that demand his power. I am a genuine believer that we can go farther, faster by faith than we ever could in the flesh. We can build a legacy that lasts by faith when we never could in the flesh. Victory Church is living proof of that, that after 12 years, God is able to do the impossible in a hayfield in Troy, Pennsylvania. Why? Because we're able to accomplish more by faith than we ever could in the flesh. All things are possible to them that believe. Nothing is impossible if we just believe God. We serve a big God, church. And so we got to have a big faith in our God. Doubt limits the power of God. Now, let me show you this in your Bible. Mark chapter 6, verse 1. It says, then he, or Jesus, went out from there and came to his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue. That's what he did. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this which is given to him, that such mighty works are performed by his hands? Is this not the carpenter, son, the son of Mary, and brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? So they were what? Offended. We talked about offense Sunday. You know, offense is the greatest killer of a move of God. One of the most important elements of spiritual warfare, I'm going to say the most important element of spiritual warfare, is learning how to handle offense properly. Because it will become a blockage to seeing God's power at work in your life. Verse 4. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor, except in his own country, among his own relatives, and in his own house. Verse 5. Now he could do no mighty work there. Look at that. He could do no mighty work there, except that he laid hands on a few sick people and healed them. Well, we'd be happy with that, wouldn't we? But the Bible says he could do no mighty works there. Doubt blocks the mighty miracle-working power of God. I want to encourage you today to begin believing God in a bigger way than you ever have before. Because God wants to do things among us greater than he ever has. He wants to demonstrate his power in a greater way than we've seen before, very simply because he wants the world to know that this is not just another book. The power of God is always there to confirm that his word is true. Amen? Are you with me tonight? Is this helping anybody tonight? Okay. So stand strong in faith and don't open the door to doubt. Psalm 78 verse 41 says this. It says, yes, again and again they tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. The children of Israel limited God. I want you to think about that. The God of the universe who is omnipotent, he's all-powerful, all-knowing, all-present. You have the ability to tie his hands when you don't believe what he says. They limited him. So doubt, we know, doesn't please God. However, faith does, Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it's impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So the question tonight is, how then do I pray in faith without doubt? And there's a great answer for that. If you have a Bible, let's go to Romans 4. Romans chapter 4. It's a man by the name of Abraham. Abraham is the father of the faith. He's the father of all of us who believe in Jesus Christ. He was the first one to ever be justified by faith. And he left footprints for you and I to follow in. Romans chapter 4. Abraham is 75 years old. God makes him a promise that he's going to have so many descendants that it would be more than the sand of the seashore, the stars in the heavens. He's a 75-year-old man. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't know too many 75-year-olds having babies. And his wife was right behind him in age, so their bodies were no longer naturally, physically capable of accomplishing these things. And yet God says, I'm promising you that you're going to have a lineage that comes after you. And so here's what the Bible says about Abraham. Now, what you've got to understand is that I believe his wife Sarah didn't become pregnant till he was 99 years of age, and then his son Isaac was born when he was 100. And here's what the Bible says in Romans chapter 4. Let's start in verse 19. There's about a 25-year gap there between God's promise and it coming to fulfillment when Abraham had a son. So again, that's the gap we're talking about standing through tonight. And it says, and not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what God had promised, he was also able to perform. So there's four things here that Abraham did that you can do that will help you in that gap between asking and receiving to stand strong so that doubt does not defeat you and Satan doesn't steal the answer to your prayer. The first one is very simply this. You've got to stop looking at the problem. And we have a bad habit of focusing on everything that's wrong. Just like Eve, God put her in the garden. All the trees were good. One was bad. She got so focused on the one thing she couldn't have, she forgot everything there she could have. And that's just human nature. We've got to stop looking at the problem. Romans 4:19 there says that he didn't consider his own body. Now here's a 90-some-year-old man trying to have a baby. They didn't have Viagra then either. So y'all know this dude was in trouble unless God gave him some help. He needed some help. Can we just be real and think about the logistics of this tonight? And so he didn't even consider, he could not consider that his body, which the Bible says was as good as dead. Now how's that for a testimony, Chris? If that's what gets written in the Bible about you, his body was worthless. He didn't consider his own body. He didn't look at the problem. It was already dead since he was about 100 years old and the deadness of Sarah's womb. She was just dried up and done. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Well, that means I walk by what God's word says because that's where I put my faith. That's the landing place of my faith. Now, sight is one of your senses. So he says, I walk by faith, not by my senses, not by sight, not by what I see, not by what I feel, not by what I can taste, not by what I can touch, not by what I can smell, not by what somebody else says to me. I walk by faith, step by step, standing not even on the ground in front of me, but on the word of God. And I live my life on top of the promises that Jesus has already bought and paid for. That's walking by faith. Faith is the sixth sense that God has given all of his children, just as real as the first five, and even more necessary because the spirit realm is just as real as the natural today. And by faith, I reach out into the spirit and take hold of what Jesus already bought and paid for, and I pull that thing into my life and see it come to pass. And so what we don't do is we don't play the what if game with the devil. Y'all know that game? What if you don't get healed? What if the money doesn't show up? What if they don't get saved? What if the car can't be fixed? Or you go right down the line. I don't even go there. I stick to what God's word says. Number two, you've got to stay focused on the promise. So number one, quit looking at the problem. Number two, stay focused on the promise. It says in verse 20, he didn't waver at the promise of God. He didn't waver at the promise of God. He kept his eyes on the promise of God. He did not waver at the promise through unbelief. Well, you know, the Bible says the promises of God, all of them, are yes and amen. He's already said yes. That's why I have a promise before I even ask him the question. Because I know if he promised it, I'm already going to get it. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when that thing shows up in my life. And so the promises of God give me a place to focus my faith like a laser beam, and the promises of the word wash away my worry and they delete my doubts. The word is a cleansing agent. How many of you know you get dirty living on this world and in this life? You got to have something that can wash that contamination out, wash that doubt out, wash that defeatism out of your life, wash out those questionings and those reasonings that keep you awake and cause you to argue endlessly in your mind, and replace it with the truth of God's word. Yeah. I'm convinced we're not in the word enough. Number one, stop looking at the problem. Number two, stay focused on the promise. That's what Abraham did. Number three, you got to praise your way to victory. Now, this is where you got to get a hold of it. We move from what I ask to I've received. I believe I got it when I asked for it. So if I hand you a $50 bill, what are you going to say back to me? Thank you. Big difference between please, 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 please. And thank you, God. Just like Amy said, they asked 6 months ago. Overwhelming peace came over them. As long as I'm over here begging God for it, I got no peace because I've got no assurance. You got to praise your way to victory. Here's what it says this man did when he was 76, 77, 78, 79, 80, 81, 82, 83, 84, 85, 86, 87 years old, 88, 89, 90, 91, 92, 93, 94, 95, 96, 97, 98, and somewhere between 99 and 100, here's what he was doing. Romans 4:20. He didn't waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. He grew stronger in faith. When we ask God for something, as time goes by and we don't see it yet, we're like, what's wrong? Why isn't God showing up? What's wrong with my faith? What's wrong with me? God doesn't love me. God doesn't like me. I must have sin in my life. Sound familiar? And we start doubting, and what's happening all the while? Peck, 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 peck. And the little foxes are spoiling the vines of our faith, and our faith gets weaker and weaker. Not this dude. 25 years. Stronger, 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 until there's an explosive release of the power of God, and he sees his miracle manifested. He grew stronger by how? Giving glory to God. Now, here's how the Amplified Bible renders that. It says he grew strong and was empowered, and it tells us how. By faith, as he gave praise and glory to God. Let me tell you what happens. When you start praising God, you take that magnifying glass off of the mountain and you put it onto the master. All of a sudden, you forget about the mountain, and all you can see is the master. And when you serve a big God, all of a sudden, your issues disappear. I told you, we serve a big God today, and I'm thoroughly convinced that most Christians don't believe he's big enough. They have a weak, pathetic, defeated God, and that's why they live a weak, pathetic, defeated, broken Christian life. They serve a God that only had enough power to get them into heaven and can't do diddly lick for them here on earth. But that's not what I see in the pages of this book, church. I see a triumphant church that was mighty and powerful in a raging inferno with the fire of the Holy Spirit, and the world could not ignore them. We cannot be swept aside anymore. He started praising God. Last, number four, the Bible says, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was able to perform. What he had promised, he was able to perform. Here's number four. Don't forget who made you the promise. Don't forget who made you the promise. What's his track record? Thank you, Paul. Put it in layman's terms for me. Perfect. He hadn't broken his promise once, Candy. It never once has he allowed his word to fall to the ground void of its power without finding fulfillment. Not on his end. God is not a man that he should lie, or the son of man that he should repent. Has he said and will he not do? Has he spoken and will he not make it good? Let God be true and every man a liar. I am the Lord, Malachi chapter 3. I change not. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, Dwayne, and forever. If he did it yesterday, he's doing it today, and he'll still be doing it tomorrow. God has not included everybody but you. We've just got to learn to start practicing the principles that he's given us and not be satisfied to be king dumb, but cling to a promise like our life depends on it and expect to see heaven show up in our situation on earth. And if you get desperate enough, you'll do it. Don't wait till that moment of desperation. Begin doing it today because you want to know him more and more and more. You want to experience new things with him. You want to live the adventure we call Christianity. This thing is a journey. It is the most exciting adventure you will ever live on this earth. I think it was the Navy that used to have a commercial that said it's more than a career, it's an adventure. Any Navy vets in here today? Thank you guys for your service. All of our veterans tonight, would you let them know how much we love them? Thank you guys. Remember who made the promise. Stand with me tonight if you would. Let me finish by saying this. I want you to be serious about experiencing and accomplishing and enjoying everything Jesus purchased at Calvary. There are people out there right now, that God has appointed for us to reach this year. He's appointed their salvation. They're not saved yet. They're pre-Christians. But there's going to come a point this year where they're going to come through these doors just like we see every single week, and they're going to raise their hand, and they're going to believe in their heart, and they're going to confess with their mouth, and they're going to repent of their sins, and their name's going to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and God's going to turn their world upside down, and they're going to receive the same incredible gift that you and I have received so that they can touch their world the same way we have. Can I tell you that he's appointed breakthroughs for you and me? He's appointed revelation from his word for you and me. He's appointed provision for you and me, but it's not going to happen by accident. It's something we've got to be intentional about. It's something we've got to press our way into, church, by learning how to practice these principles of the prayer of faith and living by faith so that 2017 can launch the greatest year of your entire life. And you can see for yourself that I do have a relationship relationship with God, and he wants to confirm that he's real in my life. Can you say amen tonight? Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. I thank you for this moment we've had together. I thank you for the deposit of your truth in each and every one of us. And Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that these words of yours that are spirit and life would burn inside us. I pray that our prayer life would go to a whole new place. Father, that we would pray prayers that are respectful of how amazing you are and how great a work Jesus did for us. That we would pray prayers that match that, Father, that we would know you, God, wherever we're at in our faith today. I thank you for each and every person in this room today, that you begin right where we are. That where we are today is enough for right now. Father, start there today. And in the name of Jesus, we pray that our faith begin to be stretched and progressed, and that we would know you most of all, greater than we ever have. We love you, God, and we worship you. Tonight, in the name of Jesus, we declare that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Father, we apply the precious blood of Jesus over every heart and every home, spirit, soul, and body. Protect us and keep us, especially our children, Father. Satan, you can't have them. We rebuke you in Jesus' name. Father, for that one here tonight who's been wrestling with rejection, I break that spirit off of their life in the name of Jesus. And tonight, I pray in the name of Jesus that the Holy Spirit would wrap his arms around that individual and they would know they belong. There is a reason for them to be here. We need them and you love them tonight. And we thank you and give you glory for that. We love you, Jesus. Send us to those in need. Send them to us and fill our mouths with the encouragement they need to reach for you. We give you praise and glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Can we give Jesus the ovation one more time tonight? We love you, Lord. God bless you. Thank you for being here tonight. Can't wait to see you Sunday. Bring a Bible and a friend.